When on board HMS Beagle as naturalist, I was much struck by certain facts. These facts seemed to me to throw some light on the origin of species, that mystery of mysteries. My work is now nearly finished, but as it will take me 2 or 3 more years to complete, and as my health is far from strong, I have been urged to publish this abstract. A creationist would say that animals have been produced perfect as we now see them. But this assumption seems to me to be no explanation, for it leaves the case of the co-adaptation of organic beings to each other untouched and unexplained. We shall see how natural selection almost inevitably causes much extinction of the less improved forms of life and induces what I have called divergence of character. I shall discuss the gravest difficulties on the theory, including the subject of instinct or the mental powers of animals. Variation under domestication. There are many laws regarding variation, some few of which can be dimly seen. Breeders believe that long limbs are almost always accompanied by an elongated head. Hairless dogs have imperfect teeth. Pigeons with short beaks have small feet, and those with long beaks, large feet. Albinism, prickly skin, hairy bodies appearing in several members of the same family. Who can believe that animals resembling the Italian greyhound ever existed in a state of nature? Our domestic varieties, when run wild, gradually revert in character to their aboriginal stocks. In regard to sheep and goats, I have no opinion. Believing that it is always best to study some special group, I have taken up domestic pigeons. Many slight differences might arise amongst pigeons which are rejected as false or deviations from the standard of perfection of each breed. This diversity is something astonishing. The shape and size of eggs vary. The males and females have come to differ to a slight degree, one from another. Great as the differences are between the breeds of pigeons, I am fully convinced that all have descended from the rock pigeon. It is most difficult to get any wild animal to breed freely under domestication. It must be assumed, however, that pigeons are quite prolific under confinement. Nothing is more easy to tame than an animal, and few things more difficult than to get to breed freely under confinement. When on the one hand we see domesticated animals and plants, though often weak and sickly, yet breeding quite freely under confinement. And when on the other hand we see individuals perfectly tamed, long-lived and healthy, yet having their reproductive system so seriously affected by unperceived causes as to fail in acting, we need not be surprised at this system when it does act under confinement, acting not quite regularly and producing offspring not perfectly like their parents. Advantages of matrimony: children, constant companion, charms of music and female chit-chat. Disadvantages: terrible loss of time. My God, it is intolerable to think of spending one's whole life like a neuter bee, working, working, and then nothing at all. Under nature.
You married your cousin and Chuck, that's not so varied. You married your cousin and Chuck.
Today, I got a curious example of a unisexual instead of a hermaphrodite, cirripede, in which the female had the common cirripedial character and in the two valves of her shell had two little pockets, in each of which she kept a little husband. I do not know of any other case where a female invariably has two husbands.
Tonight, where is your husband?
Her husbands are in her pocket.
In town, there's lovely dancing tonight.
But her husbands are in the pocket.
Who's the dominating one here?
Totally irrelevant, dear.
Surely there is something to fear.
This has happened year after year. At first they seemed like parasites.
He simply tossed them out.
But after thinking of trilobites,
he had a creeping doubt.
I pull the barnacle from the trash.
Chuck Darwin thus relates.
However could I be so rash?
She's covered with her dates. Where does she keep her money?
No, not in there.
Guess Miss Barnacle's out tonight. Her husbands are in her pocket. Who's the dominating one here?
Totally irrelevant, dear.
Surely there is something to fear.
This has happened year after year. Smelly little animals
are so misunderstood.
I found them in South America.
They're not so good as food.
At first, she was a hermaphrodite.
Where's Hubsy? Not in sight.
Oh, there he is! Aha! I'm right!
Does Darwin see the light? Tonight, where is...
Her husband's are in her pocket.
In town there's lovely dancing tonight.
But her husband's are in the pocket. Struggle for existence. I use the term struggle for existence in a large and metaphorical sense, including dependence of one being upon another. As my health is far from strong, I have been urged to publish this abstract. We marvel when we hear of extinction. We do not see the cause. We invoke cataclysms to invoke this desolation of the world. Though I'll get more pennies, kicks than pennies, I will attempt my work. Advantages of matrimony: children, constant companion, charms of music and female chit-chat. Disadvantages: terrible loss of time. My God, it is intolerable to think of spending one's whole life like a neuter bee, working, working, and nothing after all. Only picture to yourself a nice, soft wife on a sofa, with a good fire, and books, and music, perhaps.
Say what you mean. Mean what you say. Mean what you do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
rights were their goats. Now, my mama always said that that was a stupid story and that what the Brown Mountain Lights actually were fireflies, that at certain times of the year and in certain seasons would light up in the trees, and that that's what all the lights were. But they were always mysterious. When I was a little girl, I'd hear a lot of stories about these mysterious lights that would turn on Brown Mountain. And as a little girl, I thought it would be, I thought in my mind there would be maybe a dozen of them, a dozen ghosts of the Indians, or a dozen trees full of fireflies, kind of like swarms of bees, you know, how bees get around the queen.
No, I remember. I always imagined it in sepia tone, of course, you know. I think it's about a forbidden love. And I can't quite remember who they were, but they must have been, since we were in the mountains, it must have been a family feud. Like, you know, the Hatfields and the McCoys. And so there was some kind of family feud, and so there, it's the ghosts of these people that met, who weren't supposed to see each other, who were in love. And they were carrying lanterns, and then they fell off a cliff. And I don't know if they accidentally fell off, or if one of them thought the other one wasn't coming, you know, and jumped off, and then the other one found out they were dead and jumped off after them. But they were carrying lanterns to meet each other. On top of a lover's leap type place.
Coming in wave after wave, and they were bigger remember if this is true or not, but what I remember is whenever you see those brown mountain lights, you'd almost always hear a train following the distance.
Or something you need to see. That's what I think they are.